From building a business we're talking about to creating best-in-class client experiences, we're here to explore what it takes to make sure you're top of mind and get the referral every time. Join me as I interview some of the most innovative and inspiring business owners in the online space and discover how you can create more opportunities to ensure your clients are thrilled with your work and make you the obvious choice to send their friends to. It's time to stop going it alone and start transforming your star power into staying power. I'm Dusty Arab, and you're listening to Referral Worthy. Let's get started.
Welcome to season two of the Referral Worthy podcast. And no, this is not Dusty. Her voice did not change. In fact, because this is the intro episode to this new season, I, Veronica Jans, one of her BFFs online and in person, get to interview her. And I think it's going to be super cool. Yes, Dusty is sitting across from me in her office. And Dusty does so much interviewing and asking other people what it means to be referral worthy. And I thought it would be super fun to just turn that around and put her in the hot seat so that she could really talk about what referral worthy is and why it matters to her, her business, and her life so much. So, Dusty, welcome to your own podcast.
Thank you again for doing this for me.
It's my pleasure. We have really cool conversations offline and anywhere else. This is just a continuation of who we are, and now we're just hitting record. Okay, your listeners know you. You're in their ear all the time. Let's just kick this off with, what can people expect for season two?
Totally. It feels like everything's changed, and yet it hasn't. I feel like if I would have started recording season two last year, I would have just thrown out all the episodes anyway, because there's just so much that is different and changing so rapidly for us in this moment that I wanted to bring on some of my favorite marketers in the space and ask them a new set of questions to help people start to navigate that changing environment, even though what we've already found is that if what it means to be referral worthy hasn't really shifted, maybe the way that we're approaching it or positioning ourselves really has. So it's been a really interesting adventure to me to try and navigate that in-between space and make sure that people are getting what they need, even if they might not be able to name it past the I'm freezing and I feel like I should pivot and the whole world's burning down. I get it. Me too.
I mean, we are living very parallel lives in a way. And what really stuck out for me was when you said that after, 20 some odd episodes into season one, you started seeing the same pattern. And I think as one of your guests in season one, I focused a lot on being referral worthy in business. But what I'm hearing from you, and also because I have that insider scoop of also being your friend, referral worthy is more than just word of mouth. Referral worthy is more than just client referrals. It's something a lot bigger. And I want you to dive more deeply into what this word means to you. I feel like there's just something more to just being referral worthy in the sense of business referrals. And it's just neatly packaged up in a way, because you are a brilliant marketer, in a way that's easy to say and remember.
Totally. I think above all else, what it means to be referral worthy is to be doing something worth talking about. And that might be a messaging and positioning thing. That usually helps tie it all together, at least. But really, it, for me, is more about a consistent and elite client experience. And especially in the online space, when I think about what it means to be referral worthy, it really is a lot more than business for me. Just full stop. Because I already know that if I find something that I love, I'm going to tell my friends. Now, most of my friends are business owners at this point, but not all of them. And I still have a lot of fun sharing things that are not necessarily business related. And my favorite anecdote about this is definitely the great tutu buying extravaganza that I started in early 2020, because I had a moment where I was like, my weight had changed again. And I was like, if I'm going to be locked inside for months, I'm going to wear whatever the hell I want. So I bought a tutu. And then I told the internet that I bought a tutu, and I threw up an affiliate link just to see how many tutus collectively we would buy. 75, about. And I would get tagged in people's photos all the time when they would get their photo shoots done in these tutus that they bought because of me. And I get such a kick out of that. If it's not tutus, it's lipstick.
It's fun though.
But really, I don't think being referral worthy or being a person of deep, deep integrity who cares a lot about their client experience and that they're delivering something of value consistently, I don't think that any of that is new by any means. But I do think, particularly in the online space where trust is already harder to build, and right now it's harder than it's ever been, what do you do? How are you supposed to move forward and engage? And really, for me, this is a business owner's way of kind of taking that step back and building something that they can really be proud of versus everybody on the outside telling you to scale, 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 bend over and just take a beating from capitalism because that's why we're all here anyway. And I just am not convinced business has to be like that. I think we should be able to do business with our friends. I don't think it should be that complicated. People say the opposite all the time. Don't do business with your friends. Well, your friends must suck, or you must not be good with boundaries. I guess you've never heard of a contract. There's no reason that we can't have the both and the best of community all together in this space. There are a lot of other ways in my life that I see this playing out right now, but let's start there.
Okay, so what I got from that was, even if you do a lot of things, whether you have multiple businesses or you are a full-time mom or whatever it is, it seems like referral worthy shows up as a deep commitment to doing business or life, but mostly in this context, business differently than how, and I put this in big air quotes because you can't see me, differently than the status quo. And unfortunately, the status quo, the bar for that is so freaking low. And so it feels like referral worthy isn't just about delivering great client work or customer service. It's really, the word trust comes up. So it's like operating from a place of deep trust in yourself, your friends, your clients, being values aligned, and also having relationships that last. And it just is nicely packaged up to me as the term referral worthy. Am I wrong or am I right? Okay.
Totally. No, you're totally right. I stumbled on the phrasing referral worthy kind of by accident while I was journaling something. And I wrote a Facebook post. And as soon as it caught fire the way it did, I was like, maybe I'm going to turn this into a short run series of essays here, because clearly I struck a nerve. And that was right about the same time that stupid term trust recession started floating around. And I've written about why I don't like it. And nobody can really claim to it. It looks like a bunch of marketers ideated around the same thing at once. And I'm like, we don't have a trust recession. You're just an asshole. I mean, honestly, for me, it really is that simple most of the time. I think that building trust is a lot easier in a smaller container, which is why so many brick and mortar small businesses are totally driven by referrals. So nothing I have to say sounds crazy to a financial advisor or an insurance agent, because they're like, yeah, obviously my business is all referrals. But when it comes to the online space, somehow that's not everybody's first thought. Or if it is, it's because they're hounding people. They're, hawking something for an MLM or something. It's just like people think that because it's online, you don't have to act like a normal fucking human being or something. And that's just not reality. Like, if you want to build trust, you have to build trust. You have to put in the work. You have to build a relationship. It is basically the same thing. But obviously, the way we do that online does show up a little bit differently. So if we're thinking about how so many people have been taken advantage of, particularly in the online marketing space or the coaching space, both areas where I started my career back in 2011 and have continued to evolve. And really, I do love a lot about both of those spaces still. I've met some of my very best friends there, but I've seen so much bad behavior that has just made me so upset over the years. And I've never, because of the way that my business started, I have carried this concern and this fear about not building a brand that turns into a mob. I'm not interested in being at the front of a mob, because you know what always happens to the person leading the mob? They get Robespierre'd. I'm not interested in that. I don't want to be that. And I don't want to be held to that kind of scrutiny either, because I've absolutely made mistakes too. I am not in any way saying that my business has been perfectly run from day one. It has not. I started business before I started therapy. Let me tell you, one of those things should have happened before the other, because otherwise it inevitably ends up becoming both. And to be sure, business mindset is definitely a thing. You grow and evolve and all of that. But there's just such an opportunity here, I feel like, to build businesses that we feel really good inside of, that maybe connect to fewer people, but connect to them on a deeper level or in a more long-term way. I know I have some clients who maybe I haven't worked with them every single day of the last 10 years, but I have been doing projects for them on and off for the last 10 years. I consider them a pretty consistent client. I have a whole bunch of people like that. And eventually they'll move on, or maybe we'll keep doing projects like this for the next 20 years because this is the way that both of us like to work. So I think that they're, in a lot of ways, this is still new territory. We couldn't build online businesses like this 30, 40 years ago, not to the same extent. And that's kind of exciting.
One of the things that I think about a lot and have been told, I'm in that camp of I started my business in the online space through some influencers that I don't want to name because I don't want to, but you know who they are. But essentially what I'm trying to say is that somehow running a business outside that online business world is very different, and that sometimes people believe that how you run a business online in this online marketing world is really skewed, and people paint it or portray it as this way of making money easier, and that it's actually easier to run a business than it really is. And then you get into the real world where you're seeing all these startups or brick and mortars or whatnot. It's very different. So do you have an opinion or insight as to why running an online business seems that way? Are there so many people like, oh, when you run a real business, you have to take yourself out of the online business world. That's when things get real.
I mean, honestly, that's not as interesting a conversation to me, because the people who are committed to misunderstanding you are always going to misunderstand you.
I love
your parents who just still can't seem to understand what you do at your computer all day. Honestly, fuck them. It doesn't matter. They don't need to understand. They're never going to spend money with you. The people who are will.
I love it. So what you're saying is, regardless of your online, offline, or straddling both, just be a decent human being. Show up with integrity.
It is not that hard.
Well, you know how they say that common sense is not all that common? Why are we still in the day and age of 2025? Why is the bar still so fucking low? It's crazy.
I've never wanted to be a marketing guru. I still don't. But I do feel a moral responsibility to be like, hey, you know what? I might not have all the answers, but I'll tell you what, you know who has less answers? That dumb motherfucker over there who's actively taking advantage of people. And the list of these dudes is a mile long. Pretty much any bro marketer belongs on that list. I'm not saying that it's just men. It's a lot men. But I'm tired of seeing it all dressed up in fucking pink, too, really, because it is. It's the same shit in empowerment branding and heels. And I'm not convinced that posturing and showing up in this way is doing any favors for anyone. In fact, I am absolutely convinced of the opposite. I think that marketing is a tool, and it is one that does require a lot of creativity. It is one that we can all use different aspects of to figure out how to promote our business to get in front of the right people. But I'm not going to sell anybody, you know, this false message of, oh, yes, we have room for 10,000 of these same kinds of coaches, and you're so special and you're so different, even though you've had 6 months of training versus, I mean, I don't have an MBA, but a lot of the folks that I know in this space do. You know, it's still a job. It still requires you've put in a certain level of work in order to gain the actual knowledge and experience. It's not just mindset. It's not just vibes. As a business owner, you will deal with both of those things. They are important. I'm not going to pretend they're not, but they are such a teeny tiny fraction of the basic business education that you need to be successful, which, by the way, is free through your local SCORE organization or the SBA, at least for the moment.
So in the online world, so many people have talked about wanting to scale, and sure, offline as well. But at the same time, as someone who you never set out to be that marketing guru, I still, me personally, as the operations expert, felt that. I never set out to do operations differently. I never set out to purposely blue ocean that shit. But you know what? It happened because these results work. How we approach our industry and our expertise really works. So we keep hammering on it. So one of the things I've been thinking about, how big do I actually want my business? I used to want an eight-figure business, like 10-plus million-dollar business that ran the way that, you know, startup culture in Silicon Valley had talked about. But now more and more, as I'm growing older and reevaluating my priorities, it's like, is staying small? And when I say small, you know, I still want to hit multi-seven figures. Like, I got a dog to take care of, you know, and other things I want to do. But like, what are your thoughts about people who want to intentionally stay small? Does that mean that I'm not so ambitious anymore and that I am just getting lazy or something? But I would love to hear your thoughts on that.
This is one that I think both of us have been focused on a lot recently. And this is definitely one of our parallel journeys at the moment, because I don't think it has anything to do with ambition. I still consider myself to be extremely ambitious. There are still so many things that I want to do. However, I saw a meme, it was probably 2 months ago now, and it said something like, I don't dream of labor. I don't dream of labor. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, that's where I'm at. I finally get it. I've spent most of my life, for my entire identity, all of my spare time would go into brand building and work and the business. And I would choose that and do it willingly and thinking that I was doing the best possible thing for myself and my family. I would run myself ragged. I would burn out on repeat consistently. And I'm 37 now, and I've been in business for, God, coming up on 15 years. And I just, these days, I refuse to lock myself to my chair where I know if I spend 8 hours here, I'm going to be in physical pain afterwards. I'm so unwilling these days to push myself past the point that I know feels like a full day's work. And that's going to vary a little bit from day to day. And yes, I still have to be like, am I just putting this thing off? And have those conversations with myself. But really, even if I am procrastinating, why am I procrastinating? If my body hurts from doing my job, I should go and take a break. I am not here to sacrifice myself for anybody else. That includes my clients. I am not here to make that trade-off. I will not do it anymore. And I think that this, more than anything else that we've seen over the past 6 months, has made it just so much clearer to folks where the line in the sand is for them. Because I know that I'm definitely not the only one. There's so much more out there than work. There are so many things that matter outside of just getting paid. And also, I am having an extremely hard time unwinding my personal value from what I can produce. And that's even as a mom of a very small child plus two older ones. There's more to life than work. There's more to life than my business, even though I love my business and I'm so grateful for it. But I will not sacrifice every other part of my life for it anymore.
Okay, so for the listeners that are listening, my face right now, pretty much my jaw just dropped open, because behind me, you can't see this. Nobody can see this. I can see it. But my therapist made me put this question on the board so that I see it every day that I'm working. Who am I if I am not constantly being useful or productive? See our parallel lives right now?
Yeah, we've both got big eldest daughter energy at a minimum.
Oh my God. And so to hear you say that, it just makes me think, and let me give you the soapbox, for the people that need that permission, who maybe want to stay small and that they don't want to scale to a gazillion dollars with a large team, or even if you can make multi-million dollars with a three-person team, which is totally doable if you do it well and do it with sanity without burning out and then, you know, stressing your team members out and all that good stuff. It's like, what permission can you give that person that maybe actually most business owners would be happy staying small? Because the narrative is always like, especially in the bro marketing world, 10x this, scale that, amplify 50x, you know what I'm saying? What permission can you give those people to say, hey, it's okay being small. And in fact, you might be happier staying small, and how the referral worthy part plays into that.
I think that the impulse to stay small, especially when it's not something you're internalizing, is less about staying small and more about right-sizing your business for your season of life. Because in different seasons of life, what right size is going to look like is going to be very different. My business has fluctuated so much over the past several years because I was having medical issues going on. I had a baby. I had, you know, one main client for a year and a half, and then I decided I didn't want to keep doing that. And so there's nothing wrong with that. And I think the other piece here is that so many people forget that the average small business owner makes less than 60 grand a year, which for a lot of us who have been working in the online space for a long time, $60,000 is nothing, except that it's one of those things where $60,000 was the number I dreamed of for years and years. And then when I got there in like 2015, I was like, oh my God, this is nothing. Now I can just see all the other things I have to, all the other expenses, all the other everything. And now with inflation, 60K is barely a living wage in a lot of places, if it is a living wage. I think that the best thing you can do is build something that fills you up, like not a passion business necessarily. The older I get, the more I'm like, don't make your passion the thing that brings you money, because you're going to stop loving it. Like Kurt Vonnegut absolutely had the right idea just on so many things. That man was a smart motherfucker. And I really would encourage folks to remember what it takes to scale like that, not just on a personal level, but what you're sacrificing, which is inherently other people. The only way to grow a billion-dollar business is by sacrificing and subjugating other people and abusing them for their labor. Like, it is that fucking simple. You can grow a really high revenue business with a really small team. And I think that's what the best are doing in the online space right now, is that they're running lean. And especially with AI tools and things like that, you can run really lean now. And when you do have people, you pay them a living wage so that they want to stick around, because that's not just sustainable, it's regenerative, right? Like, you're pumping some of that money back into your community, back into your people, like all of that. The last thing that I want to say here is something I've been thinking about a lot recently, is this idea of doing business at the speed of trust. If you have a really developed idea, if you have a really developed business, if you have something that's very easy to understand, all of these things are true, and you can put it together with a great client experience framed around it, it's probably going to be a lot faster for you to go from, you know, new baby business owner with a couple of clients to being fully booked. If you have something that's a little harder to talk about, if your client experience is kind of janky, so people are not sure if they feel good about recommending you because that might make them look bad, that's not really doing business at the speed of trust, right? So that speed depends on you, and it depends on the way that you're willing to invest in the basics. And when I say invest, that's not necessarily a financial thing. That's taking the time it takes to really learn something and to do yourself and your audience and your clients the wonderful, wonderful thing of being exceptionally clear, because that's the best gift you can give to them. It's the best gift you can give to you. It's the thing that prevents all of the resentment from building up because, you know, oh, they didn't get me this. And like, oh, they're doing this on purpose and it's a power play. I'm like, is it though? Is it? Or are you just still learning something here?
Oh, this is so good. I mean, as your friend, this is why I love being your friend. But also, you touched upon this whole business at the speed of trust thing really gets me going and hot and bothered, because it really talks about operations as well. Yes, this is a marketing podcast, but what Dusty just said, coming from an operations perspective, it's like you can only go, your systems are only as good as you make it, and you cannot out earn and out hire bad systems and processes and operations. And so,
amen.
If you have no good systems or being referral worthy or any of that stuff, and you're trying to scale or grow big, it's just building a house of cards that's going to fall. That type of pressure or that waiting for the other shoe to drop or whatnot is a lot of stress that nobody needs. And so
we've seen it happen, right? We've seen that happen to so many folks in online businesses. And that's another one of those things. You don't want to be one of those people, right? Well, okay, then don't.
And that's why I think staying small, I've always been an advocate for staying small and operationalizing your core offers, the core processes and systems that you do day to day before you even think about getting larger. And of course, I have my own perspective on what it means to scale, and not from a marketing or a money perspective, but from an operations perspective. But it's like, we need more of this messaging, and it needs to be louder. We need to push against the bro marketers. And we all inherently, and even myself, have that bro marketing stuff ingrained. It's conditioned, even if it's subconscious. I didn't even know I was holding on to some of that still until earlier this year, until I thought about it. And I was like, wow, why am I operating this way without even thinking about it? So I really appreciated you talking about going slow or going at the speed of trust, and that scaling might not be the right thing for you if it's in the wrong season of your life. You feel like you would be sacrificing something. We're at a point in our lives, and I think time is finite. We have a really, however you look at reincarnation or whatnot, it's really right now, we have one really good life to live. It's like, how do you want to live it? And I think I'm in that season where I'd rather make less money in a way, if it means that I don't have to sacrifice my values, my freedom, the opportunities that I get, the types of clients that I want to work with. So I really appreciate you saying that. Okay. So what are you personally obsessed over right now in terms of this season of your business or your life, and how does that shape what this season looks like for the podcast?
Oh, I mean, if you've been hanging out on social media at all, you know that I like hanging out in my yard a whole lot right now. I decided with the inauguration and everything being batshit out there that my part of the resistance was to feed as many people as possible. So I started another little business, because of course I fucking did, called Hearth and Hollow. And I have been going to markets and selling nursery starts. So I've been doing that now since late May. It has been such an absolute joy and privilege to be out face to face in the community. And because it's very easy to hide behind a screen, right? Say you're doing the work and say that you want community and all of that. But really, over the past year, I feel like I really have built that, not just online, but really in person for the first time in a long time since, God, pre-2020 for sure. And it's all people that I'm actively choosing that are also actively choosing me. And I have the remarkable Mary Williams to thank for a lot of that. Last June, she pulled me into what we now lovingly know as Feral Book Club. And that, saying yes to that, was kind of the start to saying yes to a lot of things. Right around the same time was my first round of Referral Worthy, the program, which, by the way, if you like the way that Veronica talks about operations, which I obviously fucking do because I have her here, and literally an entire module of the Referral Worthy program is Veronica's. The way that she approaches ops and all of that is integral, I feel like, to the way that good business should be done. So full on plug for that. You can also find her work at The Business Whip. Highly recommended. These programs go really, really well in tandem together. It is like a very sexy flamenco situation. So the second piece of that is that in-person community ended up turning into, about 6 months later, what we now lovingly know as the Commonwealth. So the Commonwealth is an egalitarian group of small business owners who all promote the shit out of each other because we are all referral worthy. We are all doing the fucking work. We are all at similar places in business, and we are not interested in gatekeepers. We are not interested in trying to appeal to folks who have huge audiences. We don't want to have to play the same game and, you know, try and get that kind of result and build audiences just for the sake of taking their money. Like, all of us are small business owners who are service-based. We all still work with clients, and we're currently working on our first project together, the Commonwealth Summit, which is going to run from August 19th through the 21st. You heard it here first, even though I'm not really 100% sure I was supposed to talk to you about it, but it's happening. So I hope you're ready. Sorry, Mega Doubt. We love you. I'm bad at secrets because I don't like having any. But really, I think those two things, being more intentionally invested in my community. I found an organization called Feed the Mass to start volunteering with. They focus on feeding people here in Portland. So, You just show up, you pick your shift online, and you show up and you prep food for 4 hours. It's amazing. It's so easy for me to say yes to and fit into my schedule, even though I've got a lot going on. I do feel like all of the things that I'm doing right now outside of my business, I do feel like the ethos and the values underneath has never been more aligned. And that feels really good.
And also, as a member of this Feral Book Club, which, oh my God, I love it. So thank you all for inviting me in. And also shout out to Megan as well for inviting me into the Commonwealth. This has just been such an enriching experience, both in, these are all business owners, right? So we get to read like really raunchy and smutty books that have 10 chili peppers as the rating. It's 10 chili peppers or bust, in my opinion. This is where I want to be going in my life and business. More joy, more laughter, more enrichment, more fulfillment, more satisfaction, more pleasure. And it feels like this is the theme in which you're also working towards. So I think the best question that I could end this episode with is this. What are you hoping listeners do differently after hearing this season of the podcast?
I would love for anyone who listens to this season to take a look around their virtual neighborhood, their physical neighborhood, and pick someone that you think is awesome and be like, hey, you and I, we're going to be friends. And then I want you to do the follow-up that makes that happen, because every good thing in my life has come from either me doing that or somebody else picking me. And that's what everything comes back to. It's relationship every single time. If you are willing to put yourself out there and make the effort and understand that not every relationship is going to last every season, like some people will be friends forever, some people will be friends for the next year. It just depends. Those relationships are still valid. They're still good. They have a function. They have a purpose. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there, even though making friends as an adult is hard. The more effort you put into it, the more you are going to get out of it.
Just like therapy.
Just like fucking therapy.
I love it. So as my friend did say, a different friend, she's like, people are either in your life for a reason, a season, or for life. And Dusty, as somebody who reached out to you because I was like, oh my God, here's this really cool person. And I am just like, you know, me. And look, a few years later, it feels like we've been friends for 10 plus years. It's just been so easy. And I want to pat myself on the back, too, for reaching out, because it's hard, right? Making friends as adults can be awkward and weird. And so I'm thankful that our friendship in and out of business, all the things, like you helped me through a really tough situation this year in my life because I won Venus in retrograde of all of our friends. And so it's like, where would I be those first few days? I don't know. I mean, I would have found something, but like the fact that you got everything ready for me and that I could just land in a really safe place with you and just be supported, like you showed up. My community, my network showed up in spades for me, and it was just so hard to receive. And I'd like to think it's because of that concept of referral worthy, right? Showing up in integrity, being a decent person. Reciprocity is something that I think about a lot, not to say that it has to be equal benefit, but mutual benefit. Not everything has to be 50-50 at all times. So
totally, totally. Well, and I mean, you've taken me to a couple of my markets, which was huge too. Like not having to do that solo, getting to, you know, set up with a friend, it's so much fucking better. And this, our business communities can be this too. And they should be.
And now that I'm moving closer to you, Mary, it's like, what shenanigans and fun will this next year bring us? I don't know. And I'm so fucking excited to find out. And again, this all goes back to being referral worthy in some sense, because it's about showing up in integrity with values and just being a decent person. Dusty, please tell people the things that you tell them at the end of the episode, your links or whatnot, because I'm done talking. I'm not signing off. You are.
Amazing. Well, thank you, everyone, for listening. I'm sure we'll have some notes and links down here because I'm definitely going to make sure you can find Veronica in all of the wonderful places. If you haven't done the Referral Worthy program yet, you should at least go take a look at it. You don't have to do it, but there's a lot of good shit there. And there's going to be some new shit there here in the next couple of months, too. So if you want the goods, better get on the list. All right. Until next time, everybody.